All right, we have all the kids, Bible trekkers, time for them to go. Yeah, these are the best kids in Sacramento right here. We are proud of them. Yeah, there they go. I am sure you are applauding them because you are their fans and not just because they are leaving. Well, let me talk to you about this. I've got this message on how to share your hope. Your hope. You know, the very first Christians who ever lived back there in the first century did not have most of the things that we have. Of course, they didn't have any electronic social media because, well, they didn't have any electricity. But they didn't even have any Christian t-shirts. See? Didn't even have any TV preachers, you know. They didn't have any motel rooms with Bibles in them. Didn't have that. They didn't even have a big white church that you could invite your friends to every Sunday. Didn't have any of that back there in the first century, early church. Mm-hmm. But here's the amazing thing. We read in the Bible that not just every week, but every single day, people were giving their lives to God and being added to their number every day. How did they do that? Well, they did it with the best possible form of advertising. It's still considered the best possible form of advertising, even today. They did it by word of mouth. You understand word of mouth, don't you? I've heard some of you. You understand word of mouth. Yeah, that's how they did it. It's the only thing they had, and it worked wonderfully. Basically, what it meant was that there were simple testimonies from satisfied customers, Joe or Jane, average Christian, whoever, saying to other people that they knew or met, "You know, this faith thing," they may have said, "that I have, I've tried it, and it works for me." That's how they did it. "It works for me, and it'll work for you." That's what they said. A simple testimonial faith in God. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, and you felt inadequate at times past to share your faith with other people, if you ever felt the pang of guilt when the Lord gave you an opportunity, you know, just open the door wide open to say something to a friend or someone that you're with, and you didn't take it, ever have that? Oh no, just me, I suppose, yeah. All right, let's go this route. Let's say that if you're here today and you're not a Christian, and if you're wondering, what is it about you Christians that make you so bent on sharing your religion with everybody else? In either case, this scripture is perfectly suited to you. It's found in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in the 15th verse. And in this passage that Peter wrote here, he gives us four essentials for sharing about God. You might call this, although I didn't, but you might call this essential equipment for effective evangelism. This is what you need to do. First, let's talk about people and hopelessness. Okay? There is probably, it's true, that most people who do not know the Lord in this world essentially are living in a hopeless life. They have no hope. Oh, they've got wishful thinking, you know, but they don't really have hope that they could count on. So in this scripture, 1 Peter 3:15, there are four things that we who do have hope, there's four things that we need to help the hopeless. Here they are. Number one, we need hope properly focused. Properly focused, clarified. We need that kind of hope. So here's the scripture, 1 Peter 3:15. You're going to read it with me? Good. All right, here we go. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Wow. You see, when we share our hope, we're looking ahead. We're saying to a lost and dying world, here's the reason I'm confident. That's what we're saying to them. See? Here's why I'm optimistic in a world whose future has a tendency to look pretty bleak. Here's why I have hope. Now, we all have hopes, of course, you know. We all hope that the economic recovery is going to finally recover for us. That would be nice. We hope that we can get a better job or some job. We hope that. Mm-hmm. We hope that our children will turn out okay. And someday leave home, maybe even. You never know. We hope that we don't have some kind of disaster this month. Or if we're single, we may hope to someday meet Mr. or Ms. Right for our lives and fall in love. We like that. We hope that somehow our lives are going to get better and not always be riddled with all the problems that we're having right now. It is kind of our ongoing hope that the future is going to be better than this because we hate this. It's true. The problem is that most of the world's hopes are really pretty groundless. Not much there. I mean, what guarantees do we have in this world? The guarantees that we think we have, they don't amount to much. They are mainly wishful thinking. Not really hope at all. Now, as Christians, you know, our hope is a lot different. So here's the definition of Christian hope. It is this. Read it with me. Coming right up. Here it is. Hope is that, read it with me. You know, I hope you will. Hope is an optimistic outlook based on powerful promises. An optimistic outlook based on powerful promises. The world's definition of hope is an optimistic outlook. They, you know, we like that. Everybody talks about that. Self-help groups, everybody, they want an optimistic outlook. But the Christian definition is that we have an optimistic outlook based upon the fact that we have powerful promises because we know Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says about Christian hope. Christian hope is a living, secure, sure, firm, certain, the object of our hope as Christians is Jesus Christ. He's the object of our hope. Mm-hmm. The reason we have hope in Jesus is because of the powerful promises that he gives us about God's plans for us. To give us a future. He has promised to do that. He has promised that we are going to have a future and a hope And we have the promise that God is going to do good for us. That's our hope. See? Jesus Christ, right now, right this minute, is in heaven. And he's preparing a place for us. Says so in the Bible. See? And this is a very different hope than the rest of the world has, who basically are hoping that it'll somehow turn out. But we have the promise. Now, obviously, if we are going to share that hope, we've got to have it in sharp focus. See, wishful thinking is not in sharp focus. It's kind of a cloud out there. So we have to have a hope that is in sharp focus. In other words, there's clarity there. We know what it is. So we ask ourselves, how do I know that my hope is in sharp focus? And so we ask ourselves this question. Honestly, you need to ask yourself this question. What makes me confident when I am in difficult situations? What is that? When you are going through it, when you are having a hard time, when life is difficult, what is it that makes you confident that it's going to turn out all right? It's pretty easy for us Christians to have our hopes divided sometimes because we kind of want to cover all the bases, you know. We have a tendency to do what the rest of the world does. We try to acquire confidence and we try to acquire hope on the strength of, for instance, our accomplishments. I've always done well, I'm doing well, so consequently it will always be well. We do that. See? Some people, they resort to not their accomplishments, but the kind of car they drive. I have a nice car, a beautiful car, everybody else wants this car, that gives me hope for the future. It's kind of a guy thing, but you understand. But the thing that may not be a guy thing is you may establish all of your hope for the future based on the fact that you're having a good hair day. See? There are lots of external reasons that we might be hopeful. But Peter says this is important. Read it with me. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Read it again. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. It begins with us saying, Jesus, I've got to admit that I'm down here and I have you in my bundle of things that I am hoping for. I have you in there along with the car and the accomplishments and the hair. I've got Jesus in there too, see. But you're going to have to come to a point where you say, Jesus, I want to set you apart. I want you to be my one and only hope. It means that when you need hope in your heart, your first thought is not the lottery and not circumstances and not the rich uncle dying. Your first thought is Jesus. That's where your hope is, because it is the only hope that we have. Mm-hmm. Once you've done that, well, you've got your hope sharply and properly focused. It's on Jesus Christ. And then you can share it with others, and you can do it pretty confidently because you don't have all these nagging doubts around. Number two, you need hope. Number one was hope properly focused. Be clear about what it is. And number two, we need reasons individually prepared. Why do we need reasons individually prepared? Because we're individuals. See, they need to be our reasons, yours, mine. It says there, let's read it. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reasons for the hope you have. Always be prepared. Always. See, this is the sticking point for us. this is hard for us. Because, you know, we say, well, I can have hope. I can have Jesus' hope. But sharing that hope with somebody else, that's a little much for me. I don't think I can do that. And we default into all this kind of self-talk. Let me give you a little example of it. See, we say to ourselves, I just don't know the Bible that well. See, I'm not that quick on my feet. See, I don't think that fast. If I go out there and some skeptic is going to tie me into knots with some philosophical argument, and I'll look like a fool, and I'll probably say something wrong and make a mistake, and they'll go to hell because I said the wrong thing. See, having hope is one thing. Sharing it, you may be saying, this is our self-talk. Sharing it, I don't think so. That certainly isn't me. Here's the beauty about this. It's your hope. See, that's the beauty of sharing your hope. You're sharing your hope. They are your reasons. You don't have to satisfy them as saying, when they say, well, that isn't reason enough for me. Doesn't matter. It's my reason. It's my hope. Peter's not saying here that you absolutely have to have a snappy comeback for every philosophical argument and objection you run into. He's not saying that. He's just saying, have a reason. Know what your reason is for your hope. For your trust in Christ. It's your hope. It's your reason. Doesn't matter what they think. Just yours. Be ready to give it. Be ready to speak up. Be prepared. Don't be caught off guard when the opportunity presents itself. Now, how do we do this? Well, let's look at our definition here. Be ready. Hope is an optimistic outlook based on powerful promises. Optimistic outlook based on powerful promises. So, what you do is you get a couple of God's promises that apply to you and you put them in your memory. You don't have to have the whole Bible, just a couple of them. See, this or that. And apply them to your life and your situations right now. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There you go. That's one of them. And when the time comes and you receive the question, you'll be ready to share it. Maybe one single mom talking to another single mom, or somebody talking to, somebody laid off worker talking to another laid off worker. Somebody talking, when you're talking, in conversations with people, because they will always eventually ask the question. They will eventually ask the question about you. If you present Jesus Christ, if you lift him up in your life, you don't have to be using church language every other consonant. Just present the peace of Christ in every situation. They will ask you, what in the world is the matter with you? You can tell them what's the matter with you. You can tell them, well, it's Jesus, that's what's the matter with me. You know, I used to worry about the same stuff you're worrying about. I found that when I gave my life over to Jesus Christ, I found out I didn't have those problems anymore. It feels good not to have those problems. I understand what you're going through. I used to go through that myself. But I found out when I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't have to go through them anymore. That's what's the matter with me. Well, they cannot resist it, see. So, we're not talking about fancy philosophical arguments that are, you have to study and study and study and study. You know, we're not talking about that at all. None of these people, and this was true in the early church as well, none of the people had a degree in theology, you see? They don't even quote scripture. They didn't have any scripture. See, they just had a simple promise of God, and that's what they're holding on to in their life. And really, when you get right down to it, that is what we've got as well. The promise of God, holding on to it as we go through life, all the things we're going through in life, We find that to be true. We're holding on to it, and it makes the difference. We take this promise of God and we apply it to their situation. Now they can share the reason for their hopefulness with somebody else that needs it. It's really pretty simple. See, the devil makes it complicated in your mind. He scares you with it. But it's really pretty simple. Because we have the added ingredient when we do this. We have the Holy Spirit working, not just to help us to know what to say, but to help them to hear it and to apply it for their lives. The devil doesn't stand a chance. So how do I get ready? Well, I understand a few of God's promises. You need to know those anyway. Put them in your own heart. Promises that apply to you right now. See? And when you go through life and you find that those promises don't apply anymore, because life will change, circumstances will change, you'll find out there are more promises. Better promises. You just change them. You'll always be ready. Always be ready. I hear what you're saying to me, even though you're not saying it out loud. You are saying, yes, Les, but it's really not that easy for me. See? And you may feel that that's your problem. You don't have the right personality to do that. You may worry about that. That's not who you are. Sure, Les, I can see you doing it. That's why I call you when I have somebody that I want to know the Lord. I call you to come over and talk to them. And you do. Some do. See? And I always go. I'll do it. See? But you can do this. The encouraging news about all of this is that the third piece of this essential equipment is, number three, we need gentleness sincerely expressed. Gentleness. I love the fact that nowhere in Peter's letter here that we're reading out of is it found that you need a big, outgoing personality to share your hope. Doesn't ever say that. What we need is gentleness and sincerity as we express it. It says, 1 Peter 3:15-16, it says, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. Now what that means is, don't be fake. Don't try to be somebody you're not. See? Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You know, yeah, see, the point of that is that you do it and you live a Christ-filled life so that people who try to put you down for what you're doing, everybody will say, that's not true. That's not true of them. That's what we do. Gentleness and respect. You can do that. I can do that. I can share my hope in a way that's soft spoken. Not pushy, not know-it-all, not waving my finger in their face. I can do that. I can be respectful. I can put aside my own agenda for a minute and listen to another person's hurts. You can do that. They're dying for you to do it. I can listen to their feelings. I can empathize with them. I can. That's doable. I can do that. See? I can share my hope that way. He's asking you to do that. See? Just listen. Be empathetic. The most overrated thing in the Christian world today is a dynamic personality. That's overrated. A dynamic personality. What is a dynamic personality? Well, let me give you an example. ShamWow. The guy that sells ShamWow on television. That's a dynamic personality for you. ShamWow. You don't know what ShamWow is, do you? See, because you TiVo'd out all the commercials, you're missing all of this culture. Oh, it's a guy selling a cleaning thing, you know, that yells at you all the time, you know. And if you call in the next 15 minutes, we will double your order. Just pay shipping and handling for the extra order. Only $49.95 for the shipping and handling. The ShamWow costs you $8. Are you with me? That's a dynamic personality. It's overrated in Christianity. How do you know that you have the right attitude for this? You know when you realize that God's words are more important than you are. When God's word is more important than you are. Now, the question is this: what is it going to take for those of you who are believers to find the middle ground that says, I'm going to share in a way that's me, just me. I'm going to share in a way that's gentle, but I'm going to share. See? I'm not going to hide behind my fears and my insecurities. I'm just going to tell them what Jesus has done for me. There are going to be people this week, this very week, this coming up week, and they are going to be looking to you for hope. One way or another, they are going to express their need of hope. You need to be prepared. See, they may express it as a joke. They may express it casually. They may express it as a complaint. But make no mistake, they're asking you, where do I find hope? And you have the answer. Number four, we need, of these four things that we need confidence, courageously maintained. We need confidence. Now, you're probably saying to me right now, I can hear you, see. No matter how easy you make it sound, Les, there's always going to be, I just don't think so. There are going to be people, some of you right now are saying, well, yes, Les, but, you know. And Peter answers that argument. Peter says, yes, but, he says, look at Noah, of all people, in the Old Testament. It's in 1 Peter 3, 19 through 20. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to read this with me. That's right. See? I knew you knew. All right, here we go. Jesus went up and proclaimed God's salvation to earlier generations who ended up in the prison of God's judgment because they wouldn't listen. You know, even though God waited patiently all the days that Noah built his ship, only a few were saved. 8 to be exact. Let's talk about Noah. Okay? Old Testament. Noah lived 120 years. Okay? And he didn't just build a boat. The Bible says that he was a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, it's Noah, his shipyard, and his petting zoo. That was it. Noah had to always be prepared to tell the reason why there were giraffes in his backyard. Amazingly, 120 years, nobody got saved. Nobody. Now, there were 8 people on board, but they were his family. Nobody else. And what's even more amazing, if we read this scripture correctly, we discover that Jesus was there with Noah. See? Not physically, because Noah lived before Jesus came to earth, but Jesus was still in heaven as the eternal Son of God. And it says that Jesus went in spirit and was there with Noah, and even so, nobody got saved. Tough pastorate. The illustration of Noah reminds us of 3 things. Think about this. If Noah had Jesus with him, so do we. Are you with me? If Noah had Jesus with him, as it says, so do we. Yeah. So as Christians, Christ is with you, literally with you. God's Spirit is living inside you, even now, even here, even in July, in Sacrament, He's living inside you. When you become a Christian, a pilot light is lit in your life. And it's the Holy Spirit of God and the pipeline for that pilot light that has been lit in your life. That pipeline for the Holy Spirit goes straight to heaven. Okay? So the power will never be shut off. You see, it always continues to flow. And when you start living a Christian life, you turn the burner on. Now you're cooking. See? The Holy Spirit. When you share the Christian hope that you have, you've got all four burners on high. See? More gas coming down the pipe. The Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is huge in you. If you have Christ. Speaking right through you. Not subliminally, but literally speaking right through you. Does the Holy Spirit when you begin to share your hope. So if Noah had Christ in him, be encouraged, be confident, because you have Christ with you even more than Noah did. Number two, we learn from this. If Noah didn't have to produce results, neither do we. Let me help you understand what this means. If Noah didn't have to produce results, in other words, he preached for 120 years and no one got saved, then neither do we. It means, let me help you understand this, because this is where the devil will try to trip us up every time. For 120 years, nobody bought it. Nobody. Christ was there. Noah was a failure. No way. Noah was one of the greatest men of faith who ever lived. And he produced no results. Here's the thing. As a Christian, it's my job to speak. It's God's job to save. I don't save people. Have no idea how to save people. It's only my job to speak. Share the hope. See? It's my job and your job. It's our job to do the possible. It's God's job to do the impossible. Okay? We get the idea sometimes that we have to do the impossible. And so we don't do anything because we know we can't do the impossible. But all that God is asking of us is that we do the possible. Share the hope. Point to Jesus. I can't save anybody, but I can share my hope and leave the results to God. If Noah didn't have to produce results to be approved by God and to be held up as one of the great people of faith, then neither do I and neither do you. I'm in charge of sharing. I can't save them. I point them to Jesus. Number three, about Noah. If Noah could handle the rejection, 120 years, no converts. If Noah could handle the rejection, so can we. So can I. I hate it, but I can handle it. All right? Peter says earlier in this passage, that if you're eager to do good and you're out living a good life and sharing your hope, then who's going to oppose you? He says that. Did you hear me what I said? He said that if you're eager to do good and you're out living a good life and sharing your hope, then who's going to oppose you? And of course the answer is the only the real jerks are going to oppose you. They're the ones. They will, but they're jerks. Most people will appreciate it when you do it. Most people will appreciate that you've shared your hope. If they don't accept it, it's okay. But in Noah's day, everybody was a jerk. They all rejected it. No one helped. No one appreciated it. They all rejected it, insulted him, made fun of him. Do you know people today who are hopeless? Looking for hope? Sure you do. They want to hear what you have to say. They may start out saying they want to hear it by telling you that they don't want to hear about religion, which is good news because you don't have anything to say about religion. You're talking hope. See? But we find people placing their hope in a lot of things, in their physical appearance, and having material things and political associations, clothes, friends, being hurt. A lot of people place their hope in being hurt and being angry. You know, what they need to do is they need to set apart Christ as Lord in their lives, as their sole source of hope. Now, how do you know if you're going to really be ready to do this? Well, in the first place, you're probably never going to feel like it. You'll never feel perfectly prepared. You'll take a little time today. You'll say, what are, but you need to take some time today and say, what are the promises? What are the promises of God that make the mean the most to me in my situation? Is he my sole source of hope? Is Jesus? You need to ask yourself. You need to find out if he is your sole source of hope. And you need to pray something like this. Bow your heads, would you please? Let's bow our heads. Because this is the kind of prayer that you need to pray. You may want to pray it as I say it. Say, Lord, I don't know if I know how to do this. But would you give me an opportunity this week to share my hope with somebody that needs it? I know, I can hear you saying, wait. No, just do it. Give me an opportunity this week to share my hope with somebody that needs it. Because I want to tell you, God would love you to do that. When you're willing to pray that prayer and ask God to give you that chance, you're ready as you need to be. And joy will fill your heart and your life because you have shared your hope. Thank you, Jesus, for doing this. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And thank you for this hope that we can share to all the hopeless in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Sharing your hope. Always be ready to have an answer. Be ready. All right, we're going to have the presentation of your tithe and the giving of your offerings. We would appreciate it if you'd fill out any prayer requests you have on the yellow cards.